Hey, travel creators, welcome back to the podcast. If you've never heard my voice before, I'm Laura, and I'm a content developer for travel creators and influencers. And I'm so excited because today we are diving into why I think every single creator should be leveraging a podcast and how it has absolutely transformed my business with my incredible producer who brings these episodes to your ears every single week, Murray. And guess what? Creating a podcast is one of the easiest things I do for creating marketing content for my business. And in this episode, we're going to get into that.
So I'm a podcast producer and I help six-figure content creators and coaches like double their freaking money through podcasting and using it as an effective sales funnel. I also do like entertainment podcasts and stuff too, but I really help people in business use it as a marketing tool. And yeah, it's called Annemarie Productions, which my name's Murray. But it's just my first name and my middle name mixed together. Yeah.
Beautiful. I always wondered what that was. You can find that in the show notes. We'll leave all of Marie's incredible information down there. Okay. I can't speak highly enough about what podcasting has done for me as a little business owner over here. I never thought that it could be so transformative because it always felt like to me that like everybody and their aunt has a podcast. Like literally I am people's aunts and it's like, okay, my aunt has a podcast. I never realized how important it could be because it felt like so saturated. But I always tell people, and who knows, maybe this is complete bullshit and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that podcasting is like in its infancy and that it is kind of where blogs were in like 2011 or something. And if you just get consistent and good at it, maybe something can come of it, which is encouraging. And I think that's also like half the battle is that people aren't consistent. So if someone wants to start a podcast tomorrow, what would you say is the best kind of like setup for them for it to be consistent and like not burn out and be fun?
That's a good question. Okay. It took me like a year to figure out how to podcast because it was just me. So like, I would find a podcaster and be like, hey, how do I do this? Or hire someone to at least launch you. Cause it took me a year to figure out how to do it. And then I launched clients in like 3-4 weeks. And you could do YouTube University for like years and be like, what mic? Whatever, whatever. I actually have a free launch checklist. I'll just add that to the show notes. But yeah, I think just what is something you genuinely cannot shut the fuck up about? Like at a party, everyone's like, damn, Laura's talking about it again. Like that's what you should be podcasting. Don't podcast about something you feel like excited about for like the next few weeks. It has to be something you're not tired of. And just to not burn out on anything, just don't go too hard too quickly. Like I kind of tell some of my clients to start up with bi-monthly and you can always ramp up. But if you do weekly and ramp down, people will lose trust in you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's crazy. I started doing just solo. The first season I did was just solo and I kept my season count to 8 because it felt most manageable. It's like, great, I can record 8 solo episodes because then you don't have to rely on anyone, just yourself. And then I just wanted to get it out there and see what people felt about it because I was totally like, no one will ever want to be on this show. apparently a lie. people are knocking down my Google form door.
Fuck yeah.
but I did that to stay consistent and sustainable and then was like, incredible, it's just going out on its own and I literally don't have to do anything.
Okay, I have to admit something. I used to be one of those people who thought that I could do everything on my own, meaning, okay, I can make sure I manage all of my finances and make sure I am writing all of my blog content and maybe I could edit a podcast on my own. No, that is so not true. And the only reason you get this podcast into your ears every single week is because of Murray. Because if I had to do this on my own, there's just no way that's possible. And as someone who creates this type of content myself, who realizes how hard it can be to be consistent, that's kind of why I created the services I have for travel creators who have less than a stable Wi-Fi connection. And the other great part about podcasting for me is that I get to talk about stuff that I love. And then somebody goes in there and cleans it up and edits it and brings it to your phone.
Okay, let's talk about like what makes a good podcast episode for you.
You have to get to the fucking point. You can add a little fluff in the beginning of chit chat, but like people really, really don't want to hear like 15 minutes of cutting up. Get to the point. And a really good podcast episode is really about the host and what the host brings. And so if you have a guest episode, people don't really care about the guest. They care about you as a host, the entertainment and the value. So really kind of how we're doing with this episode, like Laura is going to be talking right after I talk and talking back to you, letting you know, like you're the most important person. So cut the fluff out. Don't y'all ever host an episode that's over an hour. Stop that. You're not Joe Rogan. I don't want to listen to Joe Rogan for an hour and a half. Like, fuck that. So you can literally create to the point, entertain, create an emotion in like 5 to 10 minutes. My favorite podcast is called Hindsight. It's literally 7 minutes and he's changed my life in those 7 minutes. So just get to the point and edit.
I was always nervous having guest episodes on because something that I'm about to admit to the internet, which I've never admitted before, but I really don't like listening to guest podcast episodes because I think I've only listened to bad ones. Because you're exactly right. I clicked on this episode for a reason and I want to hear that reason. And I'm sorry. I love you as a guest, but I don't want to know like why this person got to where they are. Yes. But I want to hear that at the end, unless, because sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, wow, they do a really cool thing that I want to know more about. But I'd rather hear that at the end.
The biggest problem is everyone starts the episode of, so how did you get here? Tell me about your journey. And the person's like, well, in 2012. Whoa. We're going that far back. Like, already I'm out. Because like if you look at the title of the episode, it's probably like, maybe how to start your business in 10 days. And I click on the episode and then that's the first question I hear is, well, in 2012, I lost my job, my wife divorced me, and now I'm already out because I'm here for that reason. So if you have an educational podcast, you better get to the fucking point.
I really only love listening to podcasts or really consuming any type of content that gets to the point, especially when it's educational, because time is our most valuable resource and I don't need to spend time reminding you of that. But that's why I keep my episodes short to cut out all the fluff and get the best bits of information out of them. And if you want to hear all the fluffy, fun parts from my conversation with my guests, those go at the end because they're optional. Whereas the rest of the podcast is a little bit mandatory if you want to learn. Speaking of cutting the fluff, a lot of people don't know this, but I create my own travel guides for destinations around the entire world. Right now, we're in our national parks era, and you can find me on Instagram at nofflufftravelers, because sometimes reading travel blogs is like reading a recipe. You're just like, want to jump to the best bits of information to help you plan your own trip to get there. And that's something travel creators can do in their own content. Really like take a step back. And it's all the fine line of like, how much personal information do I share versus educational information? But anyway, in No Fluff Travel Guides, I break down the most important bits of information you need to know about a destination to help you exponentially reduce the amount of time you spend planning for your trip. You can find a link to No Fluff in the show notes if you're interested.
Tell me why, like, why should business owners have a podcast? Because I was a little naive and was like, I don't really know how this could be helpful because it seems like such a saturated place. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to like a business owner or someone who's trying to build a business? Why the heck they need a podcast?
I love this question. With podcasting, you don't need to have insane numbers to get a return on your investment. So another myth, people think, okay, the only way I'm gonna make money is I need to get a sponsor and I need to have HelloFresh sponsor me and I need to have a Patreon, which means like people pay you monthly for extra content. And I gotta do all this stuff. That takes a huge amount of community. If you're a business owner and let's say you're selling like how to do like newsletters, copywriting and stuff like that, you just need to niche down and make sure 100% of your audience listens to every single word you say. There's no one outside of that niche. And that way, whatever you sell, a good percentage of them will buy. Let's say you're a business owner and you go on social media. Amount of like click time where people will watch it is like 2-5 seconds. That's not real statistic, but I just know off my thing. Like if you don't have my attention in 2 seconds, I'm out. And you just spent like an hour or maybe 2 hours making that video and no one gives a fuck. And also, I can't really get to know you as a business owner. Then on podcasting, people give a podcast a chance for 3 to 7 minutes. That's a long time. 7 minutes, that's a long time to get a lot of stuff out that you need to get out if you cut the fluff. And also retention rates with YouTube, people only pay attention about 60% through. In podcasting, the average is 80% because people are listening while they're driving, while they're doing dishes, while they're like on their walk. So you're just able to be in more people's ears for longer. And just the most important thing is depth. Like, you're not going to get the depth and the trust of your potential clients or customers through a 30-second TikTok video. You become the best friend in their ear. They start to trust you. And that's why I work with coaches, because they get to bring so much value and they're selling very, very expensive high ticket services. But if I've been listening to you for like 6 months and I hear you have a program and I trust you, I'm going to fucking invest like $6,000 to $10,000 on you because I trust you, and you're not going to get that over social media. So I think to end this, I would say you don't need like a big sponsorship. You just need to like really think, who's your ICA, your ideal client, as your business. Translate that to your podcast, bring a lot of value, and then have high ticket services. So if you have a $5,000 service and you only have 100 downloads a month, if one person of the 100 buys it, that makes you $5,000 in a month.
If you are a travel creator who has put together resources or services, and one of them is a high ticket offer, podcasting just feels like a natural next step, because you can talk in depth about your offer or service and lead people to that through the podcast. Like Marie just said, people give podcasts almost 7 minutes of their time before they click off. And you can get in so much information about your offer and service in those 7 minutes. And it's not, please don't just be like, here is why somebody should buy my offer right now, and this is how much it costs. Like, no, you have to tell people a little bit more about you. Basically, don't make the first 7 minutes of your podcast a complete sales pitch, but it is a great way to really show your personality and get in front of your target audience. And I feel like you're probably thinking, well, what would I talk about? Well, there are so many things you can talk about with your offer and service. You can have current clients on to talk about how you've helped them. You can share tips and tricks. You can harness the power of AI. There's so many things you can do to pick up a microphone and talk for 5 to 7 minutes once a week. And think about if you batched an entire month of podcast episodes, you could do that in under an hour if your episodes are really short and to the point.
How do you feel about people who don't have like a business podcast, mm-hmm. but are more of like an entertainment podcast, and like, what do they have to do to try and make money? So for example, if someone mm-hmm. was like, I want to create a podcast talking about some of my travel stories, but I don't have like great tips or knowledge to share, I'm not like an expert in one specific thing, how can those people like monetize a podcast, and how hard is that?
Yeah, I feel like, I'm just going to be frank, like entertainment podcasts are quite difficult to monetize because now you're just selling you. You need to create a very strong community. That means like on a more traditional route, your strong community would pay $5 a month to your Patreon. And if you get 50 of those people, I can't do math, but I think that's some money. You know,
I don't do math publicly, so I'm not sure.
Okay, well, insert in your calculator what 50 times 5 is, and you will make that money.
From, we yeah. have to do the math.
Yeah.
Wait, 50 times what?
5.
250.
So you're now putting in the effort as an entertainment podcast of like, I want 50 people to sign up for my podcast and for my Patreon, where I'm going to send them extra episodes a month, and I'm going to send them merch and all this extra effort for $5 a month. I see a lot of entertainment podcasts doing this. You only get $250. But again, if you have a $5,000 product or service and you sell it for $5,000, you only need one person to buy it. 50 people, that's a lot of people. I only see the big, big, big podcasts monetizing. So it's not impossible. You just need to get creative. So you need to either have fucking fire merch that you sell at a high ticket. You could do like travel tours. Oh my God, there's so many podcasts that do travel tours and they do it for high ticket prices. Or then you start to like translate into other ways. I'm going to monetize through affiliate marketing. So that's, say I'm an outdoor podcast. I'm going to make a relationship. It doesn't have to be REI, like a smaller company. And it's like, hey, everyone in my audience is obsessed with camping. Like, here are my stats. They love camping. And then you can start selling their products and get an affiliate. So there's ways to make money, but I feel like the cheat code, it will always be have a high ticket service and just create a business out of it. So mm-hmm. that's my thing with entertainment podcasts. You can do it, but it's a longer road. And I'm saying that because I am an entertainment podcast on my own, and I don't see like a direct correlation unless I put a freak ton more work into it.
What are some of your best podcast marketing tips? How the heck do I tell people about it?
Okay. That's a really good question. I say play into your strengths. So if you're like already have a social media audience, oh my God, sitting ducks. If you have a newsletter, sitting ducks. For me, I have a very strong like networking strength. So when I did my podcast, I was like up in everyone's message and I wasn't sending group messages. I was like, Laura, can you please share this? Laura, can you please leave a review? It takes a lot of time, but like, that's what I'm good at. And so I got a lot of people listening from the start. So I would say like, if you're launching, like play into your strengths. And then let's say you're marketing on your podcast, listen to people like Laura, like you're good at sales, like get good at sales, get good at knowing when to drop information, how to lead into someone into a call, how to leave breadcrumbs, how to create a sales funnel, like start listening to people where like you caught yourself being like, should I buy that service while listening to a podcast?
One of my favorite things in the world, especially because I get to work with so many cool creators and influencers who are posting online their faces or talking in any pieces of content, is that when I meet with them, they are the same person as who they show up as on video, online. And when that happens, that is like the best feeling ever because you're like, oh my gosh, I have found a genuine person who is the same in this conversation right now with me as they are on their social media. And I want you to know that when you have a conversation with me, if you get on a call, if you book one of my free slots, this is exactly how I am. This is how I will show up and talk to you. I'm probably wearing a crew neck and I have no shame about it because I use my podcast as a funnel filler. And that means my goal is people will find my podcast, hopefully check out some of the resources that I have linked below, like my newsletter that comes out every Tuesday for travel creators on how the heck they can win in their content. From there, they'll get on my email list to keep receiving those. And from there, in my email list, I put in more specific offers and things that are really only given to my newsletter community. So yes, this is also a slight plug to go check out my newsletter, which is always linked below. I think really one of the best parts for me about podcasting is the networking that comes from it. And when I first started, I had no idea. I didn't even think about wanting to or having the opportunity to network with all of these incredible people that I have on the show or just know from the podcast community now. It's really life-changing and it's changing things in my business and it's really incredible. I'm now like brainstorming with other creators on resources we can put together. It's just, I can't speak enough about how it has transformed my take on networking. It's also forced me to network and for the best way possible. And I really love it for that.
Half of the reason why I want to have guests on my podcast is one, because they can provide information that helps my audience learn. And the other half is that I get to network with incredible people and like shoot my shot saying, will you come on my podcast? And they're like, yes, I will.
Oh, legit.
And oh my gosh.
I totally didn't even touch on that. Like networking is like, I think personally the best part of it. I have made a serious amount of genuine friends from this situation. And I think half my clients have come from podcasting. People love to talk. They love making friends. And podcasters are fucking cool. I just went to a podcast convention. I had the best time. Everyone there was amazing. And like, even if you're like, okay, I don't want to, you know, have a whole business with my podcast. Like you have no clue where these networking things could lead you to at all. I thought when exactly. I started my podcast, like a few years ago, I was like, I'm just cutting up. And then boom, I have a whole business. Like,
oopsies.
I'm traveling because of this freaking hobby.
Oh yeah. Side note, Maria's a digital nomad. If that makes you love her more.
Yeah. Woo.
The thing about like podcast networking that I never really thought would happen and what can happen if you have like an incredible producer like Marie is that Marie will email me and be like, hey, go meet this person or go reach out to this person because they would be incredible to be on your podcast. And that's like another part of podcasting that I never thought would happen is that not only can you ask people to be on your show, but sometimes you'll just meet people through other people that you've met through podcasting to come and be on your podcast. And then it's like, wow, now I know all these people and all this expertise. It's wild. I just asked someone who has almost 1 million YouTube subscribers if he would be on my podcast. And I was like, there's absolutely no way he's going to respond. He responded and was like, heck yes, let's do it.
Oh,
I was
my like, God. Wait, is this the guy you've been trying to get on?
Yes. I literally said to him, I was like, can I have 20 minutes of your time? Because What I'm going to do is just ask him questions and then I'll go back in with my own thoughts later so that we can get the good parts out and I don't waste anybody's time. So everybody loves travel stories. Most people, if you're listening to this, you do. Sometimes it feels as though there are a lot of like travel story based shows, podcasts, blogs, content, whatever. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start a podcast in a niche or a realm that has a lot of that content already? Mm-hmm. What tips would you give to someone to stand out in amongst a lot of similar shows?
Yeah. Okay. I like loved this question when you asked this. So on the basic level, if you're launching, look at the art around you, like literally type in the word travel. As we're speaking, I bet you, if you look this up right now, everyone's freaking podcast art is blue or green because it's like earth travel. Like already pick pink, pick orange, like any other color. Don't do blue. And then like, I can't figure this out yet. The SEO of your name. Because it's like a very fine line with naming your podcast because you want it to come up first. And I can't lie, I'm still trying to figure that out. I think you can have a creative name as long as you like do a semicolon and then add a bunch of SEO words. So with your podcast, it's the travel creator, colon, influencer, travel creator. You know, I try to add that so that it comes up often. So I would say like, check your competition. On a deeper level, I'm going to be honest, I don't listen to travel podcasts for a couple of reasons because I find a lot of them just boring. Because you're having people come on and describe a visual experience. And like, I just feel like when you have someone come on and they're like, I'm like, hey, Laura, tell me what happened last summer in Turkey? How was your trip? And you're like, well, the first day we arrived, it's a crazy day. We went on a bus and then I got some coffee. I'm like, what? I don't care. That's like when your friend comes home from a trip and you're like, I don't really care. Sorry. Unless they're a good fucking storyteller. And you can't guarantee that with your guest. So now you're taking the entertainment value and you're asking your guests to hold that for you when you can't. So again, comes back down to editing and the strength of your personality as a host. So it's totally okay to do travel stories. I did that on my podcast. I wouldn't even listen to mine as an example, but I would say there's one I would absolutely listen to. It's called Armchair Explorer. It is so good. He has adventurous come on. What he does is kind of like this episode. He goes back in and he talks directly to the audience and describes the story along with the guest. And there's music and there's effects and there's tension. And like he has you on the edge of your seat. You feel like you are at the bottom of the ocean in a submarine with these people, or you're on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in a snowstorm. Like he makes you feel like you're in the scene. So if you're going to do a travel podcast, I would say create a scene. And then the last thing I'll say is at least do something different. Like with my podcast, I am trying to cover every country in the world. Now, I could have someone from Turkey and I'm like, hey, Turkish person, tell me about your country. Are they going to be interesting? I don't know. So what I do instead is my strength are in my friends who are all comedians. So I tell my comedian friends, I have them come on. They've never heard of the country before. And I'm telling them about the country. I'm getting genuine reactions from them. At the end, I tell crazy freaking stories from that country that are just out the bonkers wild. And so it's entertainment, it's history, it's travel, and you get to be entertained and you still get to learn. So that's how I would say if you're going to do travel podcasts, long story short, like just be more creative. No one wants to hear about your trip to France, like unless you do it right.
I do not listen to a ton of travel podcasts. And I think it's several reasons. One, because it's so closely tied to everything that I do every day that it just feels like more work. And secondly, because I think there are a lot of really bad ones. I do. And the reason that I think I have feelings about travel podcasts is because they're all feel to me like they're doing the same thing, just from the perspective of somebody else. Yes, it is true. Someone will come to your podcast and listen to it because of you. But when we get down to the nitty-gritty, a packing list for France is a packing list for France. So if you want to start a travel podcast, you need to do some research and listen to podcasts so you can figure out what you like and what you don't. And then you need to already know your niche. Who the heck are you talking to on this podcast? Because if you're trying to talk to everybody, you're talking to no one. For example, I'm not talking about travel in general. I'm talking to a very specific community of travel content creators and influencers who are already making money from their work in the travel space and are looking to elevate to the next level / learn how to manage that content. That is a very specific audience and you need to have one in mind before you press record on that microphone. Because you can't just have like a little soapbox moment. I have like a little soapbox moment in a tiny community square rather than in like Central Park. I think in any content you are creating, the more specific you can be, the better that piece of content is going to perform. Whether it's creating a podcast show, posting an episode, or trying to brainstorm a script for your next reel.
I would say go listen to some shitty podcasts and that'll tell you exactly what you like to listen to and how you want your podcast to be. Type in like travel podcasts and just listen to a bunch of them and be like, whoa, I don't like this. That needs to be improved. And then start yours and just do it. Do something unique.
I mean, it's the same with any type of travel content you're creating. There is so much and you have to figure out what makes you unique and like, why the heck should somebody listen to you? Like, what are you bringing to the table that hasn't been brought before? Because I can guarantee you France Packing Tips has been brought, it has been delivered. It has been checked in a bag a million times over.
Oh, actually, we were talking with our friend who has like an educational travel podcast. And we were kind of saying the setup of instead of doing the whole usual or how'd you get into traveling? Like, fuck that question. Pack the front with very straightforward questions. How would I pack if I only have one layover? Or I don't know. Pack it heavy. And at the end, be like, okay, now tell me your weirdest travel story. At the end, this is the entertainment. So educate first, entertainment in the back. And I feel like that's a really unique way to do a travel story episode or educate.
Yeah, I think that's totally counterintuitive to what people think podcasting should be, especially if it's like a guest you don't know beforehand. It's so like, you just want to break the ice and be like, so how did you start? And it's like, let's reverse engineer what we think podcast episode should be. Or like having a first conversation with someone. And like, I am straight up with my guests. I'm like, listen, I don't ask the question of like how you got to where you are now. You are welcome to share that if you feel as though it is a massive, like impactful thing that really drives home why you do what you do now or like the advice you have to share with us today. I'm happy to put that at the end, but that is not like, I'm here to get your expertise and we can share your story in a different way in the podcast. What are like the biggest, the common mistakes you see with people trying to do podcasts on their own? Meaning they don't have a Marie producer in the background doing all these amazing things. They're just like them and their little mic. And what are they messing up on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like launching is really hard. Like I told you, it took me a year to figure it out. I was like, what kind of mic? Once I record, where does it go? Okay, like, what do I do after that? How do I edit? Like, it's a lot. It took me like a year to figure all this stuff out on my own. So I would say like, pay for someone to launch you. You'll get it done in like 3 weeks. They'll know what you're doing. And then try to edit. You might love it. You honestly might love it. You might fucking hate it. Like, pass on the stuff you don't like, you know, and get a good mic. Like, oh my God. That's like the biggest pet peeve is like I don't care what you're talking about. If you sound like this far away, see the difference? Like you would not listen to me if I sounded like this. You would listen to me now. So I feel like it's quite simple. Like, and okay. So Blue Yeti mics, if you look it up, don't get that shit. It's like $500 and it's trash. Get Audio Technica or Shure, Shure. They're great mics. And they're like $50, maybe $100. And you can plug it into your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what I have. It is, the whole entire setup was like $70 maybe. And then I just keep little bubble wrap so I can travel with it without it getting like.
Oh, you're fancy. I like roll it up in like all the clothes.
That's smart.
Get a good microphone set up. That's not that expensive. At least ask someone how to launch quickly. Learn how to edit. Don't just like record and then press play. Like, that's terrible.
Mm-mm. And it's the best too, because it's just like any conversation you ever have with someone, you'll always think of better things when you've been away from it. You're like, damn, I should have said this or asked that or talked about this. And like, that's where good editing can come in, because then you're like, okay, Marie was talking about this. This is incredible. I wish I would have thought about this in the moment. Or you can like elaborate on it without wasting 3 hours of your guest's time.
Yeah, exactly. And just like start. It's not going to be that great when it first starts either way. There's some podcasts that like they blow up in like a season, which is like I'm sure they have a team of people doing it and they have marketing behind them. But in general, like your first season's gonna be a little rough, and that's okay. Like, I hate when people go back to my first episode. I'm like, why? There's 100 more. Why did you do that?
No, I'm like, dear God, please don't do this.
Don't go back.
What makes you think that podcasting or ways that podcasting can help creators make like such a big connection with their audience?
You don't have to show your face. You can just talk. And yeah, people just feel like you're a real person, especially if you're a travel creator. Like, you can just take it to a whole extra level besides posting your picture about Mexico, which I don't get to know much about you. But I get to hear like, oh my God, you got like diarrhea in Mexico. I want to hear that story. You know, like you get to like really spill the guts. And I feel like podcasting is extremely vulnerable. It's also the Wild Wild West. You can talk about sex, drugs, murder. And there's no restrictions. And I feel like if you're not getting in on it now, like you're missing on like the gold mine. I really do think that.
How important do you think it is to have a host or try? My requirement for guests coming on my podcast is like, you have to be funny. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You have to be. And so like, what are like tips for hosts? If someone is like, I feel like maybe I'm an awkward person or I'm just so scared to do this. I think one, like you said, talking about something that you won't shut up about is going to be super helpful. But like, what other tips would you give to hosts who are like, all right, I know you have the knowledge within your head, but here are some ways you can get it out of you better.
That's the thing, y'all, is like when people listen to podcasts, they're not listening to the subject, they're listening to the host. Like, I don't care about murder, but I listen to My Favorite Murder because I'm obsessed with Karen and Georgia, the host. And if you ask anyone, they're going to talk about the host before the subject matter. So like, in the end, you need to have your personality shine. And it's going to be rough at first because like, I don't get on camera, on video camera, because I feel like I can't be myself. It would be hard to show my personality. So with podcasting, just you can press record like a million times. You can like record an episode 5 times over. You have a glass of wine, like just be you, because people can tell if I'm like really, I don't know, shy, and I don't know, you should listen to my episode, versus like, hey, y'all, what's up? Like, already, which host do you want to hang out with? And people are there to listen to you. So just like, also give yourself grace. Your first season, you're going to be a little awkward. I'm still getting used to talking in solo episodes. It's a bit weird. You just have to like warm up.
You will only get better at hosting your podcast the more that you love what you're talking about, because it's really hard to get excited about content and specific topics if you're like, really don't want to talk about it. Like, if this was a podcast about math or some shit, I wouldn't be sounding like this.
Okay, if someone wants to start a podcast in the next quarter, or I hate that, that's disgusting, in the next few months.
Quarter. I'm like, what's that? And I'm like, I'm really bad at math. We can't do math questions.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. If someone wants to move forward in taking steps to create a killer podcast, what would you recommend somebody do right now when they're done listening to this?
There's I think it's Buzzsprout or Anchor. Okay, when I say those two words, those are the distributors. Those are like companies that push your podcast to Apple or Spotify. Those companies have like how to start a podcast on podcasts. Like, you can listen to like how to start a podcast for like months if you want to. That was really, really helpful. I think Anchor has one. So I would just kind of start there. Reach out to other podcasters you could know if you know anyone. Be like, hey, what mic are you using? Like, you could try it by yourself, or like try to find a producer and be like, hey, can you launch me? Because everyone has jobs. They have other things going on in their life, and like having to do the research on YouTube and having to research, like I told you, it took me a year. I had the idea for a year, and then I finally figured it out a year later.
I had the idea for this podcast for a year, and then I
it's like, I did it. It's weird now because I'm like, oh yeah, you just do this X, Y, and Z. Also, I'll put the checklist in the bottom. It's not like the greatest checklist ever, but it has some stuff in it that could really help you. And then yeah, listen to podcasts about how to start a podcast.
I referenced your checklist so much when I was first starting. I was like, okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay, here's what we have, because it's just so helpful. It's like one less decision to make, especially because like you are all constantly running into so many marketing tips and marketing doodads and all of this crap that it's like, I am just choosing to trust this one person and this is what they're telling me to do, and I'm just going to freaking do it. And it was amazing. So okay. I recommend you go check out the checklist in the show notes. Anything else you want to add about podcasting, traveling, being a digital nomad, or like even like podcasting for businesses, I guess? I just think it's like, it's so incredible. It's so easy. It's so, easy. Oh my God. I feel like it's too good to be true. Yeah, I do. Because it's so fun too. And it's like, go listen to my episode.
Yeah. Also, I just think it's also such a record. Like, I'll listen back on episodes like years ago and I'm like, whoa, like I was in that place in my life and my guest was in that place in their life. And just on the back end, like, it's a good like diary to have of your own voice. And like when you die, like people get to listen to your voice. I think about that a lot.
Oh my God. We do talk about murder on this podcast. Do you have any like podcasting horror stories?
I've heard there's like people who just don't hit record, which you always make sure you hit record because you know you have a great conversation, then you're like, hey, sorry. Here is one thing I will give y'all. I will die on this hill. When you get to the step where you're like, where do I record? Zoom, Squadcast. I'm gonna name a bunch of like names that you won't care about. Like, how will I actually record this when I have a guest on my podcast? Do not fly into Riverside's marketing. Fuck Riverside. Fuck you. They have ruined so many of my clients' podcasts. I have my own self like had to be like, that's not an interview. It's scrapped. Like the guest mic wouldn't pick up or it would jump or just quit. And you know what the customer service said? They said, well, the guest needs to do X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3. And I was like, no. That's not on the responsibility of my guests to know how to work technology. That's you as a company. I could go the fuck off. Don't use Riverside. Zoom is simple. It's not the most beautiful, but it is the most reliable. Then there's Squadcast and there's StreamYard and a bunch of other ones. Totally fine. Don't you dare think about using Riverside. I want to end them as a company. Hate them.
Petition below. Do you have anything else about podcasting and why people should freaking do it? Or creators?
Creators. Yeah, I just feel like if you want to create depth, have fun, have a potential to make a shit ton of money. Again, if you have a high ticket service, just like make so many friends, expand your network, like expand it. I think it's really, really silly not to have one, period. Like silly. Like, why not?
Yeah, because it's so easy. Do you ever have people who come to you and they're like, I want to start a podcast, but I just don't, they're like not super confident in, they're like, oh, it would be a good idea. But like, I don't know what I would talk about. Or like, I'm really nervous. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them? Maybe not everybody can do this.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm an extrovert. So like, maybe I'm pushing this too hard. But like in the end, like you can just talk to yourself in the microphone. You do need to be passionate about it. And you can always, always, always have a short series. You don't need to do this forever. Like my podcast is forever because I'm trying to cover every country. It's going to take my whole life. But let's say you're like, I just want to cover the 4 seasons of Insecure and what I think about it. You could just do short series and do things on things you love. And if you're like, again, if you're nervous, like have a glass of wine and you can always just record and never publish it. It doesn't have to go anywhere. Just try it. See if it's for you. And like not every medium is for everyone, but I find it very hard to believe that this medium isn't for everyone. Unless you're incredibly boring. I don't know what to say.
Oh my God. Yes, as an ambivert, this is perfect for me because I get to have time by myself. But I also get to like do the best part of like the networking and everything. And then like after I do guest episodes, I'm like, okay, I need to debrief.
Guest episodes, I think, are a lot of energy unless you're with friends. Like I think having an episode with a podcast with your friend is so beautiful. And the only thing is my suggestion is if you have a podcast with your friend, make sure they're just as into it with you. And when y'all monetize, how much money do you split? Like there's a little bit of that happening. That's why with mine, I have a lot of friends on all the time, but they don't own any part of my podcast because I know they don't care as much as I do. So it's very fun. And it's like having a little talk show. You don't have to go on like, oh, Conan, what's his name? Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
I don't watch talk shows, but like, you don't have to like go on Conan O'Brien to feel fun and cool.
This is the best thing I've ever done for my ego.
Like everyone gets to be famous. Everyone gets to have their red carpet Conan O'Brien moment. So yeah, just try it out. See if it's for you. And you doesn't have to go anywhere if you don't want it to. But you can make money from it.
You can always use the clips. Like if you recorded something and you didn't publish it right away, you could always use the clips as like voiceovers on social media. Boom, bang, boom. Also, it's just like a great way to knock out I'm doing so many things right now. Right now, I am networking. I get to hang out with Austin Marie. I get to do something productive in my business that is fun. I am also gathering clips for future newsletter content, social media content, and however else I want to use it. All in one 60-minute session, which like...
So true.
There are very few things that you can do in your business all at one time. And podcasting is one of them. It's so fun. Okay, Marie, I need you to debrief for us the two podcasts you personally host.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So if you are a beginner entrepreneur, or you're like, I hate my job and I just want to like travel the world and just have my own clients, I started a podcast called Entrepreneur Honestly. Laura's already been on there. Her episode is actually doing the best, which does hurt my feelings. It's my podcast. Just kidding. Legit. I was like, damn, it's popping off. Like, your episode's doing well. Anyways.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's about being honest as an entrepreneur. So it's like the nitty gritty, like 10, 15 minute long episodes. Sometimes I'm just like, this shit's hard. Like, it's not always coming from a place of like, I know what I'm talking about. It's very much about like, hey, is anyone struggling in this? Like, how do you find clients? How do you set contracts? Like, how do you set boundaries? Like, it's stuff like that. So that's more of like my mental health to have that podcast. Listen to it. Don't listen to it. It's for me. Then this is my baby. My podcast is called Culture Cult Show. Just a little background. I grew up in Alabama and I grew very, very ignorant. And it was very embarrassing to be that ignorant and meet people from different countries. And they knew everything about Alabama for some reason, but I never knew about their country. So I was like, okay, like, let's make a podcast for the people who are ignorant or who can't travel or who want to travel, but they can't afford to travel, but they don't want to be ignorant. So I'm trying to learn about every country in the world. And I have my comedian friends come on and I tell them about the country. And then I end on a crazy story or example. In Croatia, there's a guy named Franjo Selic who has almost died in the weirdest fucking ways. And he's almost died, like, I think it was like 9 times. And one was like a train derailing into the freezing ocean. He was the only survivor. One was a plane. The plane just blew up in half and he fell all the way down and landed on a hay bale. Again, one of the only survivors. His car blew up one time, survived. Yeah, his name's Franjo Selic. He's from Croatia. So it's just really weird story. So I start the episode letting you know about the country so you get to learn about the world. But at the end, I tell you a really fucking weird story.
Are you sure this man is not a cat?
No! His name's Franjo Selic. And y'all, spoiler, he did die.
What did it? I thought it was something stupid, like the common cold.
Actually, he did not want to tell. It was like in his will that his death is not to be known. So that's a whole other mystery. Because he was like, everyone knew him as the guy who kept dying. And I think when he did die, he was like, stop asking me about my death. Oh, and he won the lottery. I forgot to tell y'all, he won the lottery. Real, real guy. Franjo Selic. So I try to find stories people have never heard of. Like, that's a big thing about it. And so, yeah. Anyways, Culture Cult Show. It's a good time. We do cuss, obviously. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, there's nothing but memes.
It's like fantastic.
So if you like a good meme, go to @CultureCultShow.
Amazing. Thank you, yeah. Marie. That was so much fun.
Honestly, there's nothing better than having a fun little microphone, talking to people that you really enjoy about topics that you love even more. And that's what podcasting gets to help you achieve. If you want to learn more about how the heck I press a button on my computer and speak into a microphone, and then this comes into your ears, Marie's information will be in the show notes. I wish you the happiest of creating this week, and I will see you soon.
Ooh, wait, should we go over like our favorite podcasts?
Okay, yeah. Okay, Marie, I have to know, as a producer, what are your favorite podcasts?
Okay, categories. Hosts, okay. My favorite hosts. Karen and Georgia for My Favorite Murder. I also met Karen and I made her cry. That was fun. I met my favorite podcaster. Again, travel experiences, like fucking incredible storytelling. Armchair Explorer or Hindsight with the S. Al Jazeera has a really, really good history podcast about dictators, but like you get in the head of the dictators and it's like, you're like, damn, am I like on the side of Gaddafi? Maybe. Like they're like, they get you in the head. Like it's crazy. So, okay. My Favorite Murder, Al Jazeera's podcast, Hindsight. Armchair Explorer for good storytelling. Then we're going to get into the self-care section. My Favorite Aunties is a podcast that I found. And I'm not their demographic. It is for older Black women who go to church. You can't see me, but that's not me. And I don't go to church. But y'all, they are like, they just bring me happiness. Happiness, joy, like joyful people, funny as fuck. Like, so that's my favorite aunties. And then I'm going to end on the one that changed my life is Heinz Zeit with a Z, Heinz. He has 5 to 7 minute life-changing episodes. And he's just, I don't know any other podcaster like him. I don't know anyone who else is talking like him. Anyone else who inspires. He's like a speaker. He's very, very, very special. He also is on YouTube. He's like known as like the tea guy, like guy who drinks tea. So that's mine. What are yours?
Incredible. So I feel like I jump around a lot in podcasts, but I'm going to list to you some of them that I've been eating up lately. Okay. Normal Gossip is one of the only podcasts I've listened to every single episode of ever. They literally, oh my God. I don't even have words to describe how much joy this podcast brings. And it's Wednesday and they just came out with a new episode and I just remembered. That is, oh my God. That's so exciting. Okay. I recently came across Psychology of Your 20s.
Ooh.
Because I'm a little scared to unpack that, but I feel like that's a little important.
Have you listened to it?
I started listening to one about why are we so indecisive? So that seems really good. I did a walking meditation yesterday, which was really nice. And it was like a kind of like a manifestation thing. And it was from a podcast called Pass Around the Smile. And the actress was in H2O, Cleo Massey, which I didn't even realize, which is so
Is that the
funny.
mermaid thing?
Yes.
Okay, I never watched it, but I think I know what you're talking about.
And then, okay, Cubicle to CEO is one of my all-time favorite podcasts ever. It's a business one. Freaking love it. And then I have one more that I have been dabbling in. Oh, I listened to The Mindset Mentor with Rob Dial. I listened to one of his podcasts on a walk and I was like crying. It was so good. Ologies is incredible. So they bring on an ologist. So they bring on like a meteorologist or a geologist and they get into whatever their niche expert matter is in and they break it down for you. Which is like really cool. I've learned a lot about
Oh.
trees doing that.
Yes, I
And
love
then
that.
this one I think you really like. It's called I've Had It. I only have listened to one episode so far. It was recommended to me. And it's these two older women, and they're like, you know what? I've just absolutely had it with people saying this is my happy place. Like that was the last episode I listened to. I think you would love it. They're like, what have you had it with today? And they're like, I've absolutely fucking had it with people. So funny. And it's yeah, I was like cackling. It's so good. And they're like little Southern. It's so
Yes.
fun.